93.5, 95.3, Connect FM.
It is always a pleasure to welcome Brother Johnny. He's online from Houston, Texas. Johnny!
New Orleans, Louisiana.
You see, I call a number, and it's 713, and it patches into Philo, New Orleans, and Houston.
I see.
So I have no idea where he is.
Right.
I have no...
So he has to guess.
Absolutely a guessing game. Mike is in Chicago. Mike, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. Doing terrific. And again yesterday...
And it's Webb Simpson, who burst onto the golf scene last year with a couple of victories, who's the United States Open champion.
And here's what he said after it was over.
I never really wrapped my mind around winning. This place is so demanding. And so all I was really concerned about was kind of keeping the ball in front of me and just trying to make pars.
I mean, Stevie J has no problem with 530-yard par fours on the first hole, Mike, but everyone else does. How hard is that golf course?
Well, the golf course, you know, it brings you to your knees on the first six holes, and then it gives you a lot of opportunities. But if you look at the opportunities, you know, you saw some shots that almost looked like bad shots that ended up being good shots. You saw some good shots that ended up being bad shots. The slope, you can't tell the slope of that golf course on TV. I mean, the drops, elevation drops and rises are tremendous. That's like you have some of those false front greens. They hit it on the green, and then it ends off, like Ernie hit the one, they hit on the green, and ended up actually 50, 60 feet down off the green. So, you know, that's what happened. But that's why it's the U.S. Open. I mean, should it be that hard? I don't know, but it's that hard.
Well, I was surprised because Webb, you know, he's a top 15 ranked golfer, believe it or not.
I didn't know that.
Just a little under the radar, but he plays well. And he really wasn't getting a lot of attention through the tournament.
Too much out there. And, you know, and I'm sure, you know, you're concentrating. I mean, him and his wife, I mean, it's a great win. No matter who won it, it would have been fantastic. Whether Furyk would have been able to hold on. But I really didn't think Furyk was going to hold on. I really thought, you know, I thought one of the other guys might sneak in there. I really did. But, you know, you got to give it to him. You got to give Webb all the credit in the world. I mean, he did what he said he had to do. He kept the ball in front of him. He made pars. And, you know, it's not a course you're going to cut up. I think what he shoot yesterday, 67 or 68?
Yeah, 68, two under par Saturday and Sunday. And then, of course, all the attention after the first 2 days were here.
It was just a tough day on the greens. And most of the day, it was amazing. I just kept getting that half number. And just that right in between clubs all day, and it was just a tough day all day.
Well, that's Tiger Woods, and again, Johnny, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Everyone say, oh, the old Tiger's gone. It's a new Tiger. It's just a hard golf course.
It's hard. He hit that first one in the rough. We were talking about it. He needed those first six holes, and he was out of it after what, three or four, really.
Yeah, but he's good for golf, guys. I mean, and I think people that don't understand that are crazy. He's good for golf. The excitement after two rounds was greater than it was when the kid won. Come on. It is what it is. I mean, he brings people. He helps the audience. He does a lot of things. Mickelson does, too. Mickelson played terrible. I mean, he was 17 over par. So when you get a players of that quality, I mean, and you look at the guys that didn't make it. Luke Donald didn't even make the cut. He's the number one golfer in the world.
Rory McIlroy,
so you start looking at all this stuff. I mean, man, I mean, it's there's 150 guys out there that can win, but when you start looking at what that golf course, the golf course was the winner, period.
Well, you have to hit that ball so far, and the fairways aren't that big, but they're having to swing hard, and that's it. You get off that tee wrong, and it's tough. And then, like you said, Mike, a good shot into the green can turn out pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, you know, and you nearside yourself on those traps. You got no chance if the green slopes away. I mean, you know, I just can't. I mean, it was a great exhibition. I was riveted to the TV. I watched almost all of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was as good a golf thing as I'd ever seen, and I knew nobody was going to chew it up.
Yeah, well, you had, as you said, no Rory McIlroy, no Bubba Watson,
no
Luke Donald. But please explain to me how Bo Hostler, a 17-year-old, does that. Of course, he didn't even end up the low amateur because of his finish, but still a 17-year-old that captured the imagination of so many and played all weekend.
Well, this guy can play now. I mean, this kid can play. He's, you know, University of Texas getting one heck of a golfer. I'd be very surprised if he doesn't win the NCAA tournament in a couple of years. I mean, this kid, he can really play. I mean, I'm not talking about, he has pretty darn good control of everything distance-wise, but his putting, he's a good putter.
Yeah.
17 will be a senior in high school next year.
Senior in high school has to think about who he's inviting to homecoming. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Come on. And then, of course, they had a 14-year-old that competed the first 2 weeks. How does a 14-year-old play those yardages?
Well,
come on.
Yeah, I was hoping and kind of pulling a little bit. I didn't care who won, but I kind of got sentimental when Ernie started making
I got to tell you, I was kind of pulling for Ernie, too.
And Lee Westwood, I like.
Yeah, where did Ernie end
Westwood
up? Because
terrific.
I didn't see the end.
My God, those trees, he hit the ball. Oh. I mean, that's crazy.
The ball stays
in a tree.
It never came down, Johnny. He hit Lee Westwood, lost one at the top of a tree.
I know. They were saying that could happen.
When they cut one of those trees down years ago, 191 golf balls landed up on the ground.
Come on.
Come on, that's what they said.
Somebody's going to thin that thing out. Come on. Crazy.
Wow.
At 7:41, Brother Johnny Mike Ditka on 93.5, 95.3. It's Connect FM. We just talked about the U.S. Open. What an exciting tournament. I got to switch over to some politics, gentlemen. There's so much going on. Firstly, it's Joe Biden talking to the U.S. Conference on Mayors. I want you to hear what Joe Biden, our vice president, said on Friday.
I wish you could travel around the world with me. 600,000 miles so far. Just since vice president. If I blindfolded Americans and took them into some of the airports or ports in China and then took them to one in any one of your cities in the middle of the night just so they could see it and then said, which one is an American, which one is in your city in America, and which one's in China, most Americans would say, well, that great one is in America. It's not.
Okay. All right, Johnny, so communist China, good role model for us.
I don't know what he's trying to say. They just sound like he's rambling.
John, you got it right on the butt. Here's somebody who's really, the elevator doesn't quite get there. I mean, he's, come on. I mean, what he said, first of all, he didn't know what he said. I don't know what he said. But, you know, what he was really saying was the greatest cities in the world are in China, but they're really not. It doesn't matter. But, I mean, the way he went about it, it makes this guy, vice president, come on. He should be a janitor somewhere.
Was he trying to motivate to say, gosh, we can do better? Is he saying that's a model for us? We ought to be like China, let the government do everything? I don't know.
Well, if it's let the government do everything, well then we're following that model pretty well right now.
Well, that's the goal, but I'll stick with the American cities. I'm sure there's some nice-looking cities in China.
But there's nice-looking cities in Russia. There's nice-looking cities in Ireland, in Scotland, in England, in Germany, in France, in Spain. You know, what the hell? There's nice-looking cities everywhere. Hey, it is what it is. I tell you one thing, though. I don't know if they have any more traffic than we have in Chicago.
That's right. Let's go to the Friday announcement, kind of a bombshell executive order from our president about immigration, about making the young ones essentially legal. They're not going to give them a path to citizenship, but they're not going to deport them. Mitt Romney commenting on Barack Obama's move on Friday.
I think the timing is pretty clear. If he really wanted to make a solution that dealt with these kids or with illegal immigration in America, then this is something he would have taken up in his first 3.5 years. First of all, we have to secure the border. We need to have an employment verification system to make sure that those that are working here in this country are here legally. He should have worked on this years ago. If he felt seriously about this, he should have taken action when he had a Democrat House and Senate, but he didn't.
All right, so it's for votes because we're 4 months from the election, Johnny?
Sure, and I think it's another poor strategy, too. I think that he's doing very well with the Hispanic vote. He might have picked up a few more, but I think he's lost some more votes from some of the more moderate conservatives. I don't think anyone has a problem with kids that have grown up here. It's tough, but we do have laws, and Romney makes a good point. Where's he been? He's had 3.5 years to look at this issue, and he's just coming in right before the election trying everything. He's throwing everything out there.
Well, they had Senator Toomey on from Pennsylvania this morning. I listened to him, and right. You know, this is something that has to be worked out between the executive branch and the legislative branch. But, you know, he's bypassing that right now, like as an executive order to get this done. And it is an election ploy. There's no question what it is. But here's the thing: a lot of those kids that grew up in this country, they should be able to stay here. And that's what Toomey said, the same thing. There's got to be some, there's got to be a better security at the border. But some of those people have proven, they've served in the military.
Yeah.
I mean, they've proven they're American citizens. So, I mean, a piece of paper doesn't change that. You know, if you go out and fight for your country, I don't care what race you are or anything else, then you're an American to me, that's all.
Yeah, well, what do we do? I mean, why won't we secure the border? I don't quite understand why there's a reluctance that really puts emergency on saying we have to stop the sieve.
Well, that's a good question.
I don't know. You know, doesn't the federal government get mad at the state governments
yeah.
when they do those things,
yeah.
when they secure it? I don't know. I mean, I thought it was the job of the federal government to do it, not the states, but the states are... You know, trying to do it on their own, Arizona and some of these other
states.
They
get sued.
Yeah.
Well, the federal government is supposed to do it, and the states are doing it because the federal government isn't doing
it.
But why
are
they
doing it? The federal government seems to not want to stop
why?
It. And well, there is a political side to it, and that is that most of the immigrants will vote Democratic. So you could say it's all politics, but I can't imagine that would be.
Well,
they'll
vote Democratic until they learn to read and write, and they'll figure it out.
So I'll tell you though, Mike, it's nothing that's an impossible task
those
there's
borders. Nothing impossible about it, John. It's a matter of doing it. But you know, to bring it up now and to make this a priority now seems pretty silly. And people saying, well, it's not a political force. It's for the election, but so what? I mean, you look at all the things right now. I think he's got his hands full with a lot of other things right now, and jobs and the economy is one of them. And I wouldn't worry quite as much about this as I would about the other things. But you know. That's him. You know, he can do what he wants to do. That's why he's the president.
Well, he certainly needed a positive, and this was one that was probably pretty much a positive move that he could make, and that you're going to get criticized no matter what you do in that job. So
yeah.
I think that he needed something that people could be happy that he did, and at least some people are happy he did that.
Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 747 on 93.5, 95.3 Connect FM. White House Senior Advisor David Plouffe said President Obama did not declassify the hundreds of national security documents that were leaked to the press. David Plouffe.
In our administration, of course they're going to talk about the president's strategic approach to keeping this country safe, our foreign policy, but to suggest somehow that the people that he relies on for advice every day would leak information like this is just absolutely wrong. It's highly objectionable.
Okay, so somebody leaked it, Johnny.
Well, who knows? You know, there's a lot of information flying around, and I can't comment on it since I have no idea where that came from. But we got to watch it. They better try to tighten it up a little, because that some of that stuff you don't want out on the street.
Well, John, it's called accountability. Whether you're, you know, the Attorney General of the United States or not, you're accountable. You got to be accounting to the American people,
and you
got to be accountable for your job. And so far, this man is not that. And, you know, I'm not calling him a liar because I don't think he's lied in the sense that he just has not said anything about it, and evidently he knew something about it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're calling it, like, worse than Watergate. This is more serious than anything, the Valerie Plume, anything in the past. This is more serious because of the nature of what got out. And yet, I don't hear still much coverage. Again, if this would have been the George Bush administration, we'd have heard it.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, and again, it gets a little bit pathetic. But, you know, I think people eventually will see through a lot of this stuff. I mean, you know, you can only listen to so much crap, and then you determine that it is crap. That's it.
All right. Overnight, if you missed it, Greece voted to stay in.
The White House congratulating the Greek people, saying in part, we believe that it is in all our interests for Greece to remain in the euro area while respecting its commitment to reform. All this voting exposing a divided society, though, upset over austerity measures, the recession, and sinking standards of living.
Yeah, they got problems, a lot of homeless, Johnny. They just don't have enough money.
Well, I'll tell you, I was surprised they voted that way. That's interesting. So that means they are going to have to try to go along with some of those, what they call austerity measures, to get their finances a little more online and pay back the loans that they've had, particularly from Germany. I don't know how that's going to work, Mike, because you can have good intentions. If you don't have the money, I don't know.
Hey, John, if you don't have money, what do? You print more, right?
Well, they can't.
Well, I mean, they haven't learned that from us. trade war. With the
Euro, though, they don't have that control. So
I know.
They're gonna have to get some more from the Germans.
That was a joke. That was a fun play on. That was a play on words. Just print more.
Print more.
Hey, print, baby, print.
Well, we'll see what happens. But certainly, it's not over, not fixed. And certainly, the United States has problems with some of the entitlement things we promised, Johnny. And as you said, in 10, 15 years, we're gonna fall off the cliff if we don't stop and do
well,
something.
Well, we don't even print it anymore. We can't do it. It can't keep up. We're just inter it. They just key it in. You increase the balances in the accounts. There's no printing anymore. It's incredible. I don't know how it manifests itself, Steve, or how long we could go on a track. No one really does. But everybody is getting the idea we should probably change our direction. So that's what we're talking about.
And then, if nothing else to worry about, you can always worry about what's going on in Egypt. Here we go.
Official results due on Thursday, but the results, according to the Muslim Brotherhood, show that they have won in the form of their candidate, Mohamed Morsi. That is disputed by the other candidate in the race, Ahmed Shafiq, Hosni Mubarak's former prime minister. So it appears that this uncertainty over this election could linger on. However, one of the issues in all of this is just how much the military is even going to allow the next president to have any control over the country.
All right, we're talking Muslim Brotherhood, a degree of Al-Qaeda, essentially, and now they're going to be in charge. As Mike said in 2008, you want to change from what to what?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they have a thing on Fox now. I haven't been able to watch it. I've been talking. But, you listen to all the things he said from 2008 on. I mean, you're talking about flip-flopping. My goodness gracious. I mean, he's changed on so many issues, it's unbelievable. And people, again, the media, can turn a deaf ear to it if they want to, but I think eventually there are people who hear it and figure it out, and they're starting to show it on TV now. You can't say one thing and then say another thing completely opposite 4 years later or 3 years later. I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, and our policies haven't really been very influential. We were talking about what if the Muslim Brotherhood did take over Egypt, Mike, and looks like they might. And I don't know that that's going to be good for the region. And it's not what the United States wants.
Yeah, and of course Israel has got to be on the edge of their seat with all of
this. Yeah, that's true.
And then,
this president has cut no slack to Israel at all. I mean, he's more worried about Israel bombing Iran than he is Iran. Controlling that whole area,
and then you got
it's crazy.
You got Syria with all the problems of Syria and Assad killing his own people. President Putin, Russia has now said that he's ready to send warships in, obviously supporting Syria. What's the U.S. do about that, Johnny? I mean,
let me tell you that's one thing that makes the job so hard. And I don't know what Barack Obama's going to do or what Mitt Romney will do or what George Bush will do.
No, right.
So it's those are difficult questions, and there's a lot of side effects, whatever you do.
Well, and it proves again how difficult the position is when you have a situation. Are you going to stare down Putin in an election year?
Yeah.
Are you going to let Syria do what they're doing to their people? You can't go in. I don't know. It's Mike, I think you'd have made a great president. Because you'd have been the common sense president.
Well, there would have been a little more common sense. I don't know if being great would be a word, but, I mean, people say, hey, the guy gets it anyways. I mean,
I think great would have been a good word.
And you know what? In 2004, we can speculate forever, but what kind of a senator would Mike Ditka, would he have defeated Barack Obama, Johnny? He'd have had a chance.
Everything was stepped up for the fact that he was a minority. There's no question about it. But fine, the minority—that's great. There's nothing against that. I mean, that's wonderful. But I mean, the process became an avalanche, and then it rolled right through. And all of a sudden, bang! Then you look back and you say, okay, time out. He's president. What were his qualifications?
Yeah, friend.
Right. Never had a job.
Yeah. Guys, gonna leave it there. We'll call you Friday. Mike, always a pleasure. Johnny, thank you again.
Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye.
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, only here on 93.5, 95.3.
Good stuff.
Good afternoon, FM.